Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
In Hampton Court, there is a grapevine that is reported to be the oldest living vine. It's over 230 years old. This grapevine has one root which is 12 feet round, and some of the branches are over 120 feet long. Despite its age, the vine still produces 500 to 700 bunches of grapes per year. That's about 705 pounds. Although some of the branches are 120 feet from the main root, they still bear the sweet and delicious fruit because they are connected to the vine. Each branch is connected directly to the stem and draws nourishment from us. And draws nourishment from it. Oh, my friend, today I want to talk to you about staying connected. I want to talk to you about how pride can disconnect us from the vital nutrients of the Word. Because the Bible said that God gives grace to the humble, but He resists the proud. He gives grace. God wants to give favor, but He won't give it to somebody who is stubbornly resistant of His Word. He won't give it to somebody who's willingly rebellious and walks in the other direction toward a destructive end. But if you humble yourself before the Lord and come broken and contrite in those moments when you feel like everything and everyone is against you, oh, my friend, there's a power and a comfort and a compassion that comes when you're connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. And a lot of times the things that make us feel disconnected from those around us is a feeling of fear and rejection, of neglect, a feeling inferior sometimes to those around us. But oh, the Bible said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It's the blood of Jesus that puts the value on your soul. It's the Word of God that gives you worth. It is His counsel, my friend, that will come to you no matter who you are, no matter what your background is, no matter where you were raised or what your race is. He comes to you by that fountain of grace, by the flowing river of His love, and He wants you to be connected to Him. And see, one of the things that's powerful about this oldest living vine in Hampton Court is that distance makes little difference if we stay connected to the main source. We can be on our job 1,000 miles away from home and still have a spiritual connection because He's always just a prayer away. There's an old song that used to say, "He's just as close as the mention of His name. You whisper to Him and He can hear you. You scream in a moment of frustration and God is near." No matter what circumstance or what the situation is or how far you may feel, my friend, if you're connected in a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you have the Word of God in your life and it is the life-giving source to all of your dreams and hopes and ambitions, then you'll maintain a fruitfulness regardless of where you may presently be. You see, the Word says in John 15, beginning in verse 1, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. I came across a story the other day about a shepherd who was looking after his sheep one day on the side of a deserted road when suddenly a brand new Porsche screeched to a halt. The driver, a man dressed in an Armani suit, Rockport shoes, Oakley sunglasses, Rolex watch, and a Versace tie, got out and asked the shepherd, "If I can tell you how many sheep you have, will you give me one of them?" The shepherd looked at the young man, and he looked at the large flock of his grazing sheep, and he replied, "Okay." The young man parked his car, connected his laptop to his mobile, entered a NASA Webster, scanned the ground using his GPS, opened a database with 60 Excel tablets filled with logarithms and pivot tables, and then he printed out a 150-page report on his high-tech mini printer. He turned to the shepherd and he said, "You have exactly 1,586 sheep here." Rather surprised, the shepherd replied, "That's correct. You can have your sheep." The young man took an animal and put it in the back of his Porsche. Just as the man was about to drive off, the shepherd asked him, "If I can guess your profession, will you return my animal to me?" The young man answered, "Sure, why not?" "You're an IT consultant. How did you know?" the young man asks. "Very simple. First, you came here without being called. Secondly, you charged me a fee to tell me something I already knew. And thirdly, you don't know anything about my business. Now, can I please have my dog back?" What a comical story this was, and it certainly demonstrates how some can't tell the difference between a dog and a sheep. And this is how fundamental truth is lost when we're disconnected from the Lord. The very simple truths of, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth," suddenly becomes the knowledge of Darwinism and believing in the theory of evolution and the Big Bang theory as though some cosmic explosion took place accidentally and all of these random events took place to have the beauty of creation and the power of living activity that we have today in our world. But being disconnected from the Word of God allows you to be easily duped by deceptive sources. Oh, my friend, there are many who are driving off with what they think is the truth, but they're being deceived. They're being deceived by their own desire for the sensational. And so when somebody is so hungry to believe in the miraculous, even if it's a lying source, they'll fall for it. And the Bible tells us that one of the marquee things about the Antichrist coming in the last days is that he will work accompanied by lying signs and wonders. Some people just simply want to be seduced because they feel that their lives are so boring and there's nothing exciting and adventurous going on. So they allow themselves to get caught up in some systematic approach or some cause, no matter how outlandish or crazy it may seem. And they get to going in a direction that becomes dangerous and destructive because they're not connected. Oh, my friend, when Jesus died on a cross and was buried in a borrowed tomb, rose from the dead the third day, this being more than a fairy tale or a religious fictional plot or some outlandish thing that a group of folks came together to believe, but it's truly the reality of the Word of God. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, also becomes your friend that sticks closer than a brother. And when you get connected to him, there is life that comes. There is inspiration that flows. There is a fountain of grace that will never run dry. There is evoked out of you emotions of joy unspeakable and full of glory. You get peace that passes all understanding. And no matter how severe the conflict may be, he can silence the thunder and take away the lightning strokes of certain events. He can give you peace no matter how much pain you've been going through. Somewhere you've got to make that decision that you're going to get connected to the Lord. You've got to find an altar of repentance. You've got to come to the old rugged cross. It's more than just a timeless truth to be shared religiously. It is to be relationally experienced because Jesus said, "Out of your belly would flow rivers of living water." He certainly wasn't speaking of just joining a religious thing. He wanted this to be a real experience. He wanted this to be something that could carry you in your darkest days. See, abiding in Jesus and in truth, it brings fruit. Oh, my friend, you can have a fruitful relationship with Jesus Christ. So it's not just the love that you discover. It's the love that you continue in somebody else. It isn't just the peace that is prevailing in your life, but it's how you connect that peace to somebody else's life, whether it's a family member or a friend or a job associate or a stranger that you meet on the street. In fact, you can probably look at certain areas in your life that when you first came to God, it was just a seed out in a field of mystery. But over time, you've seen certain things grow. Maybe you've seen certain characteristics in your own life, fruits of the Spirit grow, the temperance that has come over time, the balance, the self-control, the love for others, the kindness, the peace, and the gentleness. Oh, my friend, stay connected. Recently, a man took a dead limb and illustrated this biblical point. He said, "I found this branch underneath a tree. I guess it had been broken off by the wind, and as you can see, the leaves have all started to wither and die. I also found this branch nearby, and as you can see, there are no leaves at all. It's completely dead. In fact, I wouldn't even call it a branch. I would just call it a stick. Do you think that if I took these branches out in the yard and planted them in the ground and watered them, that they would come back to life? No, they wouldn't, because the branches get the nutrients that they need to live from the tree. Branches cannot live or grow without the tree. Without the tree, there will never be leaves on the branches. If the branch comes from a fruit tree, there'll never be fruit on this branch if it's separated from the tree. If I take this dead branch and plant it in the ground and water it, it won't come back to life. It'll just be an old stick in the mud." And so Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit." Oh, my friend, today, I don't know what's disconnected you from the church. Maybe it's hurt, maybe it's offense, maybe it's bitterness, maybe it's an unforeseen confrontation with somebody. Maybe it's something that's been buried deep in you for a long time. Maybe it's rejection and fear and personal failure. Maybe it's shame and guilt that has log-jammed the door of your faith and you've been unable to take strides toward change and spiritual development like you want to. But if somehow today you could begin to pray, if you could have a connection to the Lord Jesus Christ and realize He is the only way the leaves of hope are ever going to grow, He is the only way that the fruit of peace is ever going to be seen in the branches of your life. You can't find it any other way. You can plant it in the grounds of New Age philosophies. You can water it with human reasoning, but it's not going to come to life. It'll just be a stick in the mud. But can I tell you that one day, 2,000 years ago, God put His own stick in the mud, if you will. It was an old rugged cross, two beams planted in the grounds of salvation upon which hung the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. And from that which seemed to be lifeless and dead, there did grow a miracle. It was the miracle of grace, the miracle of forgiveness, a miracle of hope reaching out to humanity, no matter what pits of perversion they had fallen in, no matter what caves of darkness they were wandering in, no matter what wildernesses of sin they found themselves entangled in. This stick in the mud, this old rugged cross, did grow. It grew the fruits of hope and peace, righteousness and joy in the Holy Ghost. Oh, my friend, if you can get connected to that old rugged cross, if you can get connected to the Savior of forgiveness, your life will be forever changed. You see, there are some disconnected from the church because they discontinue to dream. They were going to win the world. They were going to raise a family in the safe confines of the church. They were going to live their lives as upstanding citizens of God in their neighborhoods and on their jobs. They were going to do everything they could to live a good, clean life. But plans changed. Dreams died. Hopes waned. Other interests dominated their attention. Suddenly the fruitful branch of their faith began to wither. The soul became a brittle place. Children were born, and it became more important to enter them into contests, make sports practices, and the church became a faded memory, smaller and smaller in influence from the rearview mirror of their lives. Job opportunities moved them from a thriving atmosphere of prayer to a desert land absent of apostolic engaging services, and the movie theaters seemed to provide a more satisfying experience. Oh, my friend, there are several even in history that went through this, discontinuing a dream, getting disconnected from God. The church at Ephesus was a victim of discontinuing, as they were rebuked by the Lord for leaving their first passionate love. Israel experienced in Judges, after the elders of Joshua's generation faded off the scene, the mountains of their faith were traded for the new peaks of self-interest and false doctrines. Moses chided Israel for inexcusably forgetting God, their thirst-quenching, manna-giving rock, in favor of a lifeless, man-made, attractive calf forged from their own jewelry. Nehemiah reminded his unsure generation that some of their rebellious ancestors discontinued to walk in the ways of God because they forgot the miracles he did for them. They formed hard hearts, and they feigned a desire to go back into Egyptian bondage. Talk about losing a dream. When you want to willingly and vindictively walk away from the promised land, deeming a former bondage to be better, that's discontinuing a dream. Oh, my friend, I don't know what it is today that may have driven you from the church, or what shame or failure you may have in your life that discontinued the dream and has caused you to be disconnected from the Lord. But you can get reconnected today. You need to be a branch in Him. You need to realize that you're on a fruitless path, that you're headed toward a destructive end today, that somehow if you can have your conscience and old convictions awakened, get reconnected to the Lord. There are others who are disconnected from the church because they discounted a direction. They thought they could explore a certain area of life and make it back, but they never did. They were lost in the bogs of perversion. They were bound in the entanglements of 1,000 temptations in an endless forest. They were injured in faith along the bumpy trails of seduction and experimentation. An affair got them. Irresistible money that required moral boundaries to be erased got them. Pride snared them. Stubbornness broke the compass of conviction in their lives, and they couldn't get back. Oh, you can look in the scripture and see that Lot made this mistake when he took his trusting family into the degrading activities of the appealing cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Jeroboam made this mistake when he divided Israel in rejection of Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, setting up salacious idols as distancing choices of gods away from the Shekinah glory in Jerusalem. He not only got away from his roots, he created a demonic diversion to keep power. A disgruntled group discounted Moses' announcement in the book of Numbers that everyone over the age of 20 would die in the wilderness. So a group presumptuously trekked their own path to the promised land, and their ill-advised haste was cruelly met with vicious animosity and destruction at the hands of the Amalekites and Canaanites. The problem? They went without Moses, the ark, or the presence of the Lord. Numbers 13 and 43 indicates that Moses warned these renegades that the presence of the Lord would not be with them. You see, my friend, any direction that doesn't have God with it is the absolute wrong direction. And here in that particular text, the word discomfited, which describes what the Amalekites did to them, means to be bruised or crushed. Oh, how many are crushed with their own crisis simply because they don't pay attention to what God wants for them. Or how many walk around in a daze, bruised by circumstances because they willingly walk a road that led to destruction. So, my friend, we look at this text again today where Jesus said, I am the true vine, the I am. My friend, If your God is not the God of the Old Testament burning bush, if your God is not the God that saved the hand of Abraham, slaying his son Isaac on Mount Moriah to prove that he would be Jehovah Jireh, providing a sacrifice himself, if your God is not the Jesus of the New Testament that came in his Father's name, that came as God manifested in the flesh, then my friend, that's not the true vine. You have to have the true vine. If you're going to be a branch connected to something, make sure it's connected to that name which is above every other name. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no salvation without Jesus. Jesus wasn't on an alternative list. He's not a multiple choice. He's the only choice, you see. And every branch that beareth fruit, the scripture says that he purgeth it. It's not because he's mean-spirited. It's not because we serve a despotic God. It's not because he's a tyrannical being standing up on heaven's palace balcony waiting to strike somebody down with the thunder of death and the lightning stroke of devastation. No, friend, the purging comes because it's going to help us bear more fruit. What are the things that are getting in your way today? What are the old memories that haunt you? What are the tempting thoughts that hinder you and make you hesitant to walk and live for God like you could today? These are the things that he could excise, surgically remove, if you will. Take the searchlight from heaven, as the psalmist prayed, that he would begin to do a very thorough investigation of every intent in your life. Because when unrighteousness is removed, and when the things of this world of pride and lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes, when it is tempered and tamed and taken away by the power of the Word of God, then we're able to live more fruitful lives. We're able to know what true love really is. We're able to know what true affection really is. Not a perverted brand, not something that comes out of an agenda that is anti-God and doctrine hated. Oh, my friend, I believe that we can be clean through the word just like he said, that when you hear a word spoken, when you hear the word of God preached, and you know it's coming from an anointed source and from somebody that's been praying and seeking God, oh, friend, it'll help bring a purging element into your life. It'll help get rid of the dredges and all of the things deeply laid and stored in your spirit that would keep you from having the fruitful life that you want. And then there's an understanding of oneness here. Abide in me and I in you. That's how we get to the dimension of much fruit. So that it's not just about the good things that we have, but God, when he's added to every area of our lives, as John 15:5 says, we began to bring forth much fruit. Hey, it's not just a little happiness. You can have a lot of happiness. It's not just a few friends. You can live in a great congregation of the faithful. It's not just a few days where the sun may shine, but regardless of what's going on in the environments around you, you can live with the day star shining brightly in your life, the Polaris of hope that gives you guidance no matter how dark the hour is. Oh, my friend, whatever it takes today, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, continue in his love, continue in his commandments, continue in the anointing that breaks the yoke, continue in the manifestations of the Spirit that comes when the people of God begin to pray together. Oh, my friend, I encourage you, stay connected in Jesus' name. Praises, I surrender.
Hi, this is Natalie Hood, and if you enjoyed today's message and want to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.com. At thejesusmessage.com, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much, much more. Also, Reverend Danny Hood has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God do, in His timing, what you never thought possible. Another encouraging book entitled Hope, an Anchor, will encourage you that no matter how difficult the storms of life become, Jesus offers an anchor of love, power, compassion, and peace. It will secure you in the deepest waters and most traumatic times. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcome tragic, traumatic, and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. Again, in this book, Danny Hood visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible and contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly inspiring books today.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.